Typically, the gospel reading is sequential. So if you remember last week, we heard of the Pharisees and the Herodians who came to trap Jesus. Is it right to pay the census tax or not? And now we pick up and having silenced the Sadducees, and you might be scratching your head. And there's a reason for that, and for whatever reason, the church dropped the silencings of the Sadducees. The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection, so they concocted this question. A woman is married, her husband dies, she has no children for the husband. According to Mosaic law, she has to take the husband's brother as a husband, and so this happens 7 times. She's married, had been married to 7 men. Now, if there is a resurrection, who is she married to? And Jesus responds, in heaven there's neither marrying or giving a marriage. And furthermore, that there is the resurrection from the dead. God in the burning bush said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the God of the living, not the dead. And now the Sadducees go away with their tails between their legs because they've been basically embarrassed because Jesus pulls it right out of Scripture that there is a resurrection of the dead, veiled as it is, but still there. And so the Pharisees come. Now, apparently, he silenced the Sadducees. Maybe he's on our side. Or at least that's one way to read it, although there's growing hostility towards Jesus. This is chapter 22. And Jesus is crucified in chapter 24 in Matthew's gospel. So there's some strong hostility growing. But they come up with a question, which is the greatest of all the commandments? And this is a question that was asked not just to trap Jesus, but a question that was being asked by all the rabbis, all the scholars of the law, all the scholars of Judaism, in fact. There are 600 plus commandments, different commandments. Which one is the greatest? Well, we know some of them, probably not so important, like thou shalt not eat shellfish or not eating pork. Give me my bacon in the morning. Not really, but which one is the greatest? Honor your father and mother. After all, that's the only one of the Ten Commandments that has a positive attached to it, that all may be well for you and you will live long in the land. All of us children ought to remember that. Seems to say if we dishonor our parents, it's not going to be well for us and we will not live long on the land. Sorry. Which one is the greatest? Honor your father and mother, love God, keep his name holy, honor the Sabbath, do not bear false witness. Which is the greatest of all the commandments? And they come to Jesus with that question. And Jesus responds with a commandment that's hidden. It's not in the Ten Commandments. And he pulls it out. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. St. Luke would add, and your strength. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. All the other commandments hang on these two. The word that is translated is hang. That without these two, nothing makes sense. And we might say instinctively, yeah, that seems to make sense, but then again, might not make sense. Our modern definition of love, after all, doesn't make sense in this context. And we describe and define love as this warm, fuzzy feeling, this affection we have, right? That an affection for God, an affection for neighbor, that doesn't make sense. You put that definition in there, a noun where the verb should be. So all of a sudden, we need to really answer the question, what is love? And our modern world has walked away from the definition. To love, it's a verb, first of all, and it's to will the good of another. And not only to will it, but to work towards the good of the other. To know what it is, to desire to do it, and to do it. That's love. Nothing else makes sense. I joked this morning, and for some reason it came to my mind. My mom always said when we were giving her a sob story or whatever, she would say, oh, I feel for you. I just can't reach that far. That's love, right? No, wrong. Although she was loving in that moment, she was telling us, look, there's nothing much I can do about it, but I love you all the same. Love is to will the desire of the other, the good of the other. But that leads to a deeper question. How do we truly love God then? God is perfect. God is all good. How can we desire his good? How can we make him any better? In reality, we really can't, can we? But we can by accepting his love first. St. John tells us, we love God because he first loved us. He called us into the world to bear fruit, fruit that will last. That's how we love God, by becoming the people he has created us to be, by responding to the grace, the love, the mercy, the justice, everything that he has given us. That's how we love God. And if we understand that's how we love God, is becoming more fully, completely, totally the creatures and the sons and daughters he's created us to be, all of a sudden we take on a deeper understanding that to love God, as St. Athanasius would say, is the glory of God. The glory of God is man fully alive. To become fully alive, fully actuated, living the commandments. Not only the commandments, honor his name and keep holy the Sabbath, to make him God and only God, no other gods before him. But all of a sudden, if God created me a creature, if God created me a son and daughter, or son or daughter, put it in your own gender, please. If God created me in his image and likeness, then I need to love those he's created in his image and likeness as well. I need to honor my father and mother because that's how God chose to create me. I need to honor life in all its forms and not take innocent life. Thou shalt not kill. I need to respect my body and my sexuality. I need to not lie, bear false witness. I need to not steal, not covet my neighbor's wife or my neighbor's goods. All of a sudden, all the commandments rely on that one commandment of love God. But that we may not miss it, Jesus gives us a second commandment, to love our neighbor. Who's our neighbor? But as we hear in today's first reading, the alien, the orphan, the widow, the poor, the ones most in need. The alien referring, to the people who come into our country, into our land, seeking refuge, seeking a land of opportunity, seeking a new life, a different life, escaping for whatever reason the life they left behind, the land they left behind. It's not ours to molest them. To respect those most in need. To love God, to love our neighbor. But there's the other part of this love of God. With all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. There are three parts of the human person that are invisible. We can see our body parts, and well, if you cut us open, you can see our internal body parts, all those things. But there's three invisible parts of us. Our emotions, our spirit, and our mind, our intellect. To love God with all our hearts, minds, and souls is all parts of our bodies, all parts of our souls, everything we are, to give glory to God, to love him because he first loved us. And so we need to reflect this day, are we really loving God with our whole emotional life? Are we cornering pieces of ourselves off in anger that we won't take to God, in anger maybe towards God, in anger towards our neighbor, to allow God to love us, to love that person we're angry with, or depression, sadness, malaise? Or is there a joy we're enjoying that we ought not to enjoy? It's really a false joy when it comes down to it. Is our emotional life showing love of God? Is our spiritual life showing the love of God? Are we spending time knowing him, loving him in prayer? Are we allowing God to fill our souls with good things, good and holy thoughts? Our minds too, our intellect. Are we putting into our minds what is good and holy, what leads us to a deeper understanding of God and the universe that he's created? Are we loving God with all our minds, with all our souls, with all our hearts? And again, St. Luke would add strength, even with our bodies. everything that we are. These last weeks, we've been talking about the virtues we need to have as stewards. And the heart of a steward ultimately is wrapped up in love, of love of God and love of neighbor, that we give not just because, but we give because we love. And giving, when we give, is a response to God who loves us. To give in all areas of our life, with all our hearts, minds, souls, and strength. To give because God has loved us. The love of God is complete and total. We don't add to his love when we love him. We don't add to his goodness, but we glorify him when we love him. We glorify him when we will to do what he wants us to do, when we fulfill the commandments summed up in love of God and neighbor.